often overlooked in acute care settings. Nutrition is the source of energy that is required to carry out all the processes of the human body. Even tiny amounts of vitamins and minerals in our diets have profound impacts on normal physiologic function. Yet, nearly 1 billion people worldwide suffer some form of nutritional deficiency, with micronutrient insufficiencies accumulating in non-specific, hidden symptoms easily misattributed to other medical conditions. Simply put, if you don't look for malnutrition, you won't find it. Today, our patient has malnutrition, and you are the doctor. Welcome to The Intern at Work, a podcast written by medical residents meant to serve you better on the wards and on call. Today's episode is titled Nutritional Deficiencies. Depending on the nutrient in question, physiology and deficiency pathology will vary widely. Vitamins are organic compounds and can be broken down into two categories. Fat-soluble vitamins are stored in the body's liver, fatty tissue, and muscles. The four fat-soluble vitamins are vitamins A, D, E, and K. These vitamins are absorbed more easily by the body in the presence of dietary fat. Water-soluble vitamins are not stored in the body. The nine water-soluble vitamins are vitamin C and all the B vitamins. Any leftover or excess amounts of these leave the body through the urine. They have to be consumed on a regular basis to prevent shortages or deficiencies in the body. The exception to this is vitamin B12, which can be stored in the liver for many years. Minerals, on the other hand, are inorganic compounds derived from the diet. These are easily stored, and thus the body requires them only in moderate quantities. The physiology for protein wasting disorders deserves a special mention, as the two most common presentations of this are kwashiorkor and marasmus. Kwashiorkor occurs in sufficient calorie intake, but with insufficient protein consumption. Protein insufficiency or wasting in kwashiorkor generally leads to osmotic imbalances, with subsequent edema and ascites. Kwashiorkor also suppresses the production of insulin, causing a reduced protein synthesis, which leads to hypoproteinemia, immunosuppression, and diarrhea. Kwashiorkor can be distinguished from marasmus as the latter is inadequate energy intake in all forms, including protein, carbohydrates, and essential fatty acids. The result is muscular wasting and loss of subcutaneous fat. Now, nutritional deficiencies can be categorized into deficits in macronutrients or micronutrients. Macronutrients encompass protein, carbohydrates, and essential fatty acids. Micronutrients involve all vitamins, as well as mineral cations. Symptoms of deficiencies are often generalized and nonspecific. Epidemiologic risk factors are valuable in directing clinical suspicion. Complemented with unique features on physical exam, the astute clinician can correctly navigate through the myriad of diagnostic possibilities in these undifferentiated patients and arrive at a diagnosis of nutrient deficiency. We will not discuss potassium, magnesium, iron, calcium, and vitamin D deficiencies, as these are extensively reviewed in other dedicated episodes. For the sake of brevity, less common deficiencies such as vitamin E, vitamin K, selenium, and fluoride will not be reviewed, as their incidence is low, largely genetically inherited rather than acquired in adulthood, and pertains to select geographic areas with poor soil mineral levels. To start us off, we will discuss protein energy malnutrition, a condition in which individuals have a very little dietary intake of proteins, energy, or both. It is thus prevalent in developing countries because of insufficient dietary intake. As mentioned above, the two major diseases linked with this condition are marasmus and kwashiorkor. Marasmus appears in starved children and adults as exceptionally underweight, with sunken eyes, visible rib spaces, and protruding shoulder joints from having lost all subcutaneous fat. Kwashiorkor usually appears in children that, after being weaned from breast milk, containing high protein, are fed carbohydrate-rich diet sources without sufficient protein intake. On physical exam, you find ascites and peripheral edema from osmotic changes in the setting of hypoproteinemia. This clear-cut separation of marasmus and kwashiorkor is, however, not always clinically evident, and mixed clinical pictures, called marismic kwashiorkor, are possible. In resource-rich countries, this is often a rare complication of severe malabsorption, such as post-RU-NY with short gut syndrome and TPN intolerance. On to the vitamins. Vitamin A is a fat-soluble compound absorbed in the duodenum. Intake is affected by chronic GI inflammation or concomitant zinc deficiency, which is required for absorption. A well-performed history of a patient can raise suspicion for vitamin A deficiency. The presence of a malabsorptive process, such as IBD, chronic GI infection, cirrhosis, or pancreatic insufficiency should raise concern. Measles has also been shown to cause precipitous drops in retinol levels, the transport protein for vitamin A. The natural progression of chronic vitamin A deficiency most commonly presents with the gradual development of night blindness, increased frequency of GI, pulmonary and urinary infections, and development of xeroderma and phrynoderma, hyperkeratosis on extensor surfaces, shoulders, and buttocks. Severe deficiency leads to signs of xerophthalmia, developed with bitot spots, conjunctival, triangular, or oval foamy lesions, and conjunctival xerosis, which appears as conjunctival wrinkling. The presence of xerophthalmia is nearly pathognomic for vitamin A deficiency. Vitamin C, or ascorbic acid, serves as a cofactor in many enzymatic processes. Humans are incapable of synthesizing vitamin C, therefore we depend entirely upon dietary intake. Good vitamin C sources can be citrus fruits, tomatoes, potatoes, and green leafy vegetables. Risk factors for vitamin C deficiency include alcoholism, dietary insufficiency, chronic GI tract inflammation such as IBD, and individuals with iron overload, which leads to wasting of vitamin C by the kidneys. Vitamin C deficiency manifests symptomatically after 8 to 12 weeks of inadequate intake. Malaise and fatigue set in first after a month, followed by bleeding, including bleeding gums, mucocutaneous petechiae, ecchymosis, poor wound healing, hyperkeratosis on the soles and palms, and coiled hairs. Beyond mucocutaneous manifestations, multiple other organ systems are also involved. Rheumatologic problems include arthralgias. Osseous pathology occurs and presents with fragility fractures. Ocular manifestations include dry eyes, subconjunctival hemorrhage, scleral icterus, and cotton wool spots. The late disease may be life-threatening, with anasarca, hemolysis, jaundice, and convulsions. Let's break down the B vitamins now. Vitamin B1, thiamine, B9, folate, and B12 are the most encountered. Thiamine, a vitamin essential for the metabolism and function of brain cells, has a half-life of 18 days and is quickly exhausted when metabolic demands exceed intake. Thiamine deficiency, also known as beriberi in severe forms, in resource-rich countries, is attributed to poor intake, such as in alcoholism, prevalence approximately 12%. Diets of mostly white rice, dialysis, or in poor absorption, such as with chronic diarrhea. Both the neurologic, encephalopathy, and cardiovascular system, dilated cardiomyopathy, can be affected. Alcohol leads to thiamine deficiency from decreased GI tract absorption, impaired thiamine utilization, and hepatic steatosis, causing depleted thiamine stores. Wernicke's encephalopathy is the most frequently encountered manifestations of thiamine deficiency in Western society. On history, the patient will have peripheral neuropathy, characterized by difficulty walking and numbness. Physical exam reveals to nystagmus, prominent sensory ataxia, and markedly deranged mental function. This can progress to Korsakoff syndrome, an amnestic syndrome characterized by retrograde and anti-retrograde amnesia, impairment of abstract thinking, and decreased attention. For example, Korsakoff patients may need weeks of practice to learn the route from their hospital room to the cafeteria. For humans, animal products like dairy and meat are the only dietary source of vitamin B12. Intrinsic factor produced by parietal cells in the stomach is necessary for the absorption of vitamin B12 in the terminal ileum. Once absorbed, vitamin B12 is used as a cofactor for enzymes that are involved in the synthesis of DNA, fatty acids, and myelin. Vitamin B12 deficiency, thus, can lead to hematologic and neurologic symptoms. A thorough evaluation of vitamin B12 deficiency should include a complete history and physical, with an increased emphasis on GI and neurologic findings. B12 deficiency manifests as macrocytic anemia, and thus, the presenting symptom often includes signs of anemia, such as fatigue and pallor. Other presenting complaints may include peripheral neuropathy, glossitis, diarrhea, headaches, and neuropsychiatric disturbances. When obtaining a complete GI history, it is important to look for a past medical history of celiac disease or Crohn's disease. Any surgical history of gastrectomy or bowel resection, especially resection of the ileum, should increase suspicion for B12 deficiency. In addition, a dietary history may reveal that a patient has switched to a strict vegan diet within the last few years. Alternatively, elderly patients with insufficient intake should also raise suspicion for vitamin B12 deficiency. A complete neurologic exam should evaluate for dementia, peripheral neuropathy, ataxia, and a loss of proprioception. A mental status exam may also be useful to evaluate any neuropsychiatric changes. The final B vitamin is folate, or vitamin B9. Folate is an essential water-soluble vitamin, naturally present in food, especially in fruits and green leafy vegetables. Like B12, folate is necessary for DNA synthesis and erythropoiesis. Folic acid deficiency can arise from multiple causes, including inadequate dietary intake. Folate is absorbed in the jejunum by active and passive transport mechanisms across the intestinal wall. Hence, GI diseases such as celiac disease, short bowel syndrome, amyloidosis, gastric bypass, or mesenteric vascular insufficiency can inhibit folate absorption. Drugs such as methotrexate, phenytoin, sulfasalazine, and trimethoprim can antagonize folate utilization, inhibit its absorption, or conversion to its active form, resulting in folate deficiency. Folic acid deficiency can also occur subsequent to vitamin B12 deficiency. Alcoholism is a significant cause of folate deficiency. Most symptoms are similar to that in B12 deficiency, including megaloblastic anemia, fatigue, weakness, and cognitive impairment. Dietary history, drug history, and alcohol intake are important features on history to ask for. The physical exam may reveal a painful, red, beefy tongue. Signs of anorexia may be present, and the neurological exam may reveal cognitive impairment, depression, and dementia. Anthropometry is essential in the diagnosis of protein energy malnutrition. This involves accurate measurement of vertical length, weight, and middle upper arm circumference. Pitting edema should also be investigated to rule out kwashiorkor. The diagnosis of marasmus is made if there is an middle upper arm circumference of less than 115 millimeters, or if the weight or height Z score is greater than 3 standard deviations below the mean. The presence of peripheral edema with the same above criteria indicates kwashiorkor. Other ancillary investigations used for both protein deficiency and vitamin deficiencies include hemoglobin and blood smear, blood glucose, and electrolytes. Low serum retinol testing would indicate vitamin A deficiency. However, if hepatic stores are sufficient, serum retinol concentration may be normal. The gold standard in that case is quantifying liver retinol concentration on biopsy. Vitamin C can easily be measured in the serum. However, recent supplementation can affect this. The level of vitamin C in leukocytes is more accurate and unaffected by acute dietary changes. Patients being evaluated for folic acid deficiency should be evaluated for vitamin B12 deficiency, and vice versa. Levels can be measured directly from the serum. Both will have megaloblastic anemia on a full blood count. folate deficiency can be confirmed with a normal B12 and methylmalonic acid level and elevated homocysteine levels, while vitamin B12 deficiency can be confirmed with elevated MMA and homocysteine levels and low B12 levels. In addition to assessing vitamin levels, screening for concomitant mineral deficiencies is important. Other investigations frequently used as part of a nutrition profile include transferrin and albumin. Albumin levels are the most frequently used biochemical marker of nutritional status. However, the long half-life of albumin, 19 days, means that it is more useful in monitoring of long-term nutritional changes. Whenever treating any patient with negligible food intake for more than 5 days, risk of refeeding syndrome must be considered. High-risk patients include those who have been chronically undernourished, especially those who have diminished physiological reserve. To ensure adequate prevention, guidelines recommend regular monitoring of extended electrolytes and glucose. The hallmark biochemical features of refeeding syndrome are hypophosphatemia, hypokalemia, and hypomagnesemia. The NICE guidelines recommend that refeeding is started at no more than 50% of energy requirements in patients who have eaten little or nothing for more than 5 days. The rate can then be increased if no refeeding problems are detected. For patients at high risk of developing refeeding syndrome, nutritional repletion of energy should be started slowly and tailored to the patient. The NICE guidelines also state that correcting electrolytes and fluid imbalances before feeding is not necessary, and that this should be done along with feeding. Direct vitamin supplementation is standard of care and should be started immediately. In addition to immediate supplementation, education on lifestyle modifications to ensure adequate intake and cessation of alcohol are critical. The most acute deficiency requiring treatment in hospital will often be thiamine. Always give thiamine during the refeeding period in a patient with alcoholism to prevent acute thiamine deficiency with lactic acidosis. Acute thiamine deficiency with cardiovascular or neurological symptoms requires 200 mg of intravenous or oral thiamine 3 times daily until symptoms resolve or improvement plateaus, at which time the patient should transition to 10 mg a day oral thiamine until expected recovery is complete. Treatment of thiamine deficiency with suspected Wernicke's or Korsakoff syndrome is 500 mg IV thiamine, infused TID for 2 days, followed by 250 mg IV thiamine for another 3 days. Following improved nutrition and the removal of alcohol consumption, some impairments linked with thiamine deficiency are reversed, in particular, poor brain functionality, anorexia, and irritability. In more severe cases, symptoms of Wernicke's-Korsakoff syndrome may persist for several months or may be permanent. In the great age of exploration from the 16th to the 18th century, long sea voyages with limited food options saw 2 million sailors succumb to the devastating symptoms of vitamin C deficiency, or scurvy, until a cure was found. Vitamin C itself wasn't discovered until 1912. We're used to thinking of scurvy as a historical ailment, but scurvy is not gone from the face of the planet. In fact, it's making a heartbreaking comeback. Its 21st century manifestation is a disease of the marginalized, low socioeconomic status, and those living in remote rural neighborhoods in which fresh, nutritious food is hard to come by. According to a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention study published in 2009, 10-17% of low-income people suffer from scurvy-level vitamin C deficiency. Although easy to diagnose clinically and radiographically if classical features are present, it is not primarily suspected in developed nations. Listening to today's episode entitled Nutritional Deficiencies. This episode was written by Dr. Igor Slivik, internal medicine resident, and reviewed by Dr. Andrew Appleton, general internal medicine, and Dr. Marco Marcobrata, general internal medicine. The Internet Work series was created by Allison Lai and co-developed by Zara Morali and Leah Karanopoulos. Music production by Laxman's Vanth Mohan. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope to see you again soon.